Before I begin this morning, I want to share a little story with you and then share where I was coming from this morning. On Thursday, one of the members of our candidacy board shared with us that he is in ministry with a partner, and it was his partner's turn to lead the service. And his part was to do the prayers and read scripture, all the stuff that's all prepared and ready for you. So anyway, they begin the service, and his partner leaves. And as he's going out, he says, I just have to go to the washroom. So, you know, our friend continues, as everything's there, you can keep going to a certain point. And then it became obvious that his partner wasn't coming back, and got to the portion of the service where there was an expectation of a message. And, you know, hadn't prepared anything. So his first experience of having to preach without notes. And he said at least it was Mary. It was about Mary. He knew enough about Mary that he could manage to do something for like 5-7 minutes. Anyway, it wasn't that I didn't have something prepared this morning. Everything was prepared. I just wasn't sure I was going to be all that great, but I'm here and still upright. However, when I came, because I scroll through my stuff, and oh great, that's missing. This is missing. Anyway, I could find it elsewhere, but I have to flip between documents on my iPad to find it. So, ready or not, here is my reflection for this morning. Watch what happens. Yeah, watch out. When Christians ponder the last leg of Advent and the arrival at Christmas, generally it is Luke's time in the spotlight. At least that's how it works for most of our remembrance and liturgy. Luke's way of emphasizing the risk, the fragility, and the high hopes surrounding Jesus' conception and birth lends so much to our sense of what Christmas is about and how the Messiah's advent tells a marvelous theological story. In year A of the Revised Common Lectionary, which goes for three years, cycles, and which I try to follow, sometimes I deviate, but when we want to let Matthew speak with its own integrity, it's a useful exercise to read the first chapter of Matthew while trying as much as possible to banish Luke's chapters 1 and 2 from memory. We will hear from them later. But it's difficult because the Gospel of Luke has trained us to expect more in our Christmas story. When we enter into Matthew's less colorful account, which Margaret read for us this morning, we're left with no attention to Mary. Instead, we get to wonder about Joseph's and maybe his kind of shady attempt to be righteous, and we're left to chew on 100 questions about whether anyone has any idea about what God is up to in this incredible arrival of a child who will somehow save his people from their sins. Matthew makes the nativity story nearly entirely about divine initiative. There's no significant attention given to faith, emotion, virtue, agency, consent, joy, or even wonder. There's no songs either. This doesn't necessarily mean that Matthew is kind of cold-blooded. If it weren't for the existence of Luke's infancy narrative, would we even pause and subject Matthew to such scrutiny? Matthew's narrative greets us as a gospel of discovery and inbreaking. Those aspects don't rule out the possibility that the story's human characters are churning with expectation, integrity, and insight. But Matthew takes no effort to reveal those things. Instead, Matthew tells a story about what God is doing and will yet do, whether or not anyone recognizes it for what it is. Now, I'm not suggesting that human beings have no role in theology, nor am I implying that theology doesn't address and describe us. Rather, I mean that Matthew asks us, for now, to be quiet about the people. God is active here in unseen, unexpected, and unexplained ways. Why? How? We respond with hunger, and Matthew just says, shh, wait. That's not too far off from what the angel in our text says to Joseph, which is, in essence, do nothing. Keep going. Watch what happens. If there are prominent tensions and emotions in Matthew's account, they have to do with noting danger and the fear that could arise in dangerous circumstances. That seems to be Joseph's issue. And once we get to chapter 2, the risks become much clearer with the duplicity of King Herod, his horrific violence, and the flight to Egypt in search of sanctuary. It's a short Christmas story that year A assigns to the fourth Sunday of Advent. But there's enough there to show us long-standing norms and securities getting upended. Even with all this threat in the air, people in Matthew with incomplete knowledge continue to show up and practically, inexplicably respond in the right ways. It's true for Joseph in his response to his dreams, and it's true later for the Magi. Even though Matthew keeps Mary hidden, we can reasonably assume that it's true for her too. How will the Messiah's advent come to fulfillment? Matthew intimates that God will take care of it, and even confused people will somehow figure out how to participate if they stay alert to the cues and divine correctives. Our congregations will have the opportunity to contemplate Christmas's deep mystery next week, or on Wednesday evening, when Luke 2, or maybe you'll even hear it from John 1, sets the table to peer deeper into the incarnation, salvation, and praise. But Matthew asks you to proceed more slowly and with less knowledge as you approach the birth. In a nutshell, what's Matthew's message for this point in time, before we go to the manger in a cave and hear the angel's song in the fields? Matthew's message is simple. Watch what happens. Pay attention. Most of us don't have the luxury of offering a message as brief as that one. My message this morning is, watch what happens. Stay alert. With Christmas Eve bearing down, we can see that there is going to be a need for more. But we can amplify Matthew's emphasis. You could stretch it out over the allotted time, which I'm attempting to do. Direct attention to the ways that God's weird inbreaking continues among us, even in obscure circumstances. We could describe where salvation is taking place. We could point toward the locations where God has pledged to bring salvation. We could be encouraged to watch before we worry about responding or contemplating. It's an invitation to us all to pause at the wonder and the refreshment that Christmas brings, a reminder of the prospect of God is with us, which resounds with comfort and joy, but maybe only to some. Because at the same time, God's arrival will threaten more norms than Joseph ever imagined. And when norms are threatened, the people who are regularly harmed by them can expect more discomfort and peril to fall on them. So let's not forget to show up and be grateful for the time that we have together to celebrate as a community of faith. We are called to watch what happens as God's strange commitment to this stubborn world unfolds in its own time. Thanks be to God. Amen.